It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show right here on Golf News Net. That's right. Great American Golf, my anchor show every Saturday, airs on the golfnewsnet.com as well as this Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And we're getting ready to go right now with Dr. Bob Denny. Craig is off today. He is busy still with family and travel and coming back and getting back into work, but he will be joining us soon and get back into a regular swing of things. So much to talk about. The rite of spring has come and now passed. So the whole hour will be all Masters. And we're so glad that you're joining us and we appreciate you so very much. Make sure you do go to golfnewsnet.com. Ryan Ballingy, the owner, purveyor, he does everything there. And I tell you, you've got to catch up with Ryan. He's such a great writer. And he put out a wonderful story about Rory winning the tournament today, as well as his heartfelt empathy for Justin Rose, which I join Ryan, and I'm sure maybe millions of others, pulling for Justin. But I know that Rory, of course, was the fan favorite. Cam Young sure said that during his exit interview. And Scotty Scheffler had a few choice words during his exit interview last night. And we're going to keep going and going all over the Masters. And, of course, Rory's long, long exit interview press in the press media room and wearing his green jacket. So we're going to get right to it in just a moment. I want to thank a few sponsors, though, that are sponsoring this whole show today. And one of them is Squares Golf Shoes, S-Q-A-I-R-Z, the distance shoe. Squares Golf Shoes, I've been with them for so many years now. Bob Winskiewicz has outdone himself. This time, also, you've got two majors in one shoe designed by the man who lived it. There's only a few sizes remaining. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Faldo shoe, a legacy in limited supply. That's right. In honor of Nick Faldo, who is the spokesperson and ambassador for Squares Golf Shoe now for many years. Nick says, I wanted to channel that experience and energy into a shoe that blends tradition with performance. And that's what this shoe is all about. It's called the NF1990MO, standing for Nick Faldo 1990. That's what it's all about, says Sir Nick Faldo. The wider toe box, the waterproof shoe, the traction with strategically placed spikes, the midsole with the EVA for plush comfort and bounce back, and the outer sole, lightweight TPU for structure and flexibility. If you want to own a piece of history, you want to own the Faldo shoe. How do you do it? You go to squares.com. And don't forget, they've released all new spring of 2026 ladies Squares golf shoes. Also, don't forget, they have the baseball shoes. They've got the pickleball shoes. Make sure you get to squares.com, folks. And then Tour Edge, touredge.com. We appreciate them so very much. Again, a very long-term sponsor of this show, along with my television show as well. Get to touredge.com, take a look at the exotics, the hot launches, and also make sure you get a few dozen of the Tour Edge golf balls. That's right. They're in the golf ball business now. And boy, is their ball fabulous. And I've got so many reviews on it already from folks that I've given it out to. Great players, average recreational players. And of course, your humble correspondent has tried the ball out, of course. And I'll be talking more about it, doing a little unboxing with that golf ball. And we'll be doing that very soon. TourEdge.com. All right, Dr. Bob, the Tally Tumbler gave away a Masters version, a master's edition of the Tally Tumbler. It is Augusta green. It has the rings on top of it, as all the Tally Tumblers do, keeping your drinks ice cold, piping hot for a very, very long time. And they gave away that wonderful edition of the Masters from tallytumbler.com. Get to tallytumbler.com, everybody, and you're going to find out. You're going to want to get yourself a Tally Tumbler, all the colors, all the sizes, everything you can imagine from one of my favorite PGA Show products of the year, the tallytumbler.com. All right, Bob. Ha! What a Masters. My goodness gracious. I don't know that I would call it one for the ages. We've got so much to talk about, and we have a nice 50 minutes to do it, and we're going to relax and enjoy it with a little break in the middle. I don't think I'm calling it one for the ages, but I am going to certainly call it one for our age. Tell me how you feel about it.
I've seen a lot of different masters that would probably rank way below this one, if just for people, not so much the champion, but lack of excitement, lack of interest. This one to me was a great study of how a golf course during virtual perfect weather conditions can come up and bite anybody. And I was really impressed with just the way these players tried to navigate themselves around it. I saw a lot of different ways they attacked it. I saw Colin Morikawa, for instance, with how bad of back problems he has, post tremendous weekend rounds under pain, and they come away feeling that 9 under par was a tremendous accomplishment by him. I also see people like Justin with a little pine cone in his way on a chip on number 12 and other issues, get two bogeys that just collapsed and really crushed many of us, wishing he would finally get through and come through, because he was really on his way had he not had those two bogeys on the Amen corner. So though this was a championship, excuse me, a major that did produce drama. But it waited till the weekend and the final nine, obviously, to see the kind of drama we were expecting. So I never, I agree with Rory 100%. No lead is safe out there, especially when the kind of driving he is off the tee.
Well, I said it all along. We talked about it on the show last week. We've talked about it for a long time. And I talked to friends about it. I had lots of people calling me. I guess I'm kind of the go-to guy with a lot of people that I know, friends, neighbor, family from all over the country. People calling me, listeners that happen to have my phone number because they've been with me for, well, some of them from the very first show I ever did 25 years ago. So they know me, they know my phone number. But with that said, I think it was a great Masters. And I've said, if you hit it in the fairway, you win. If you hit it in the forest, you lose. And we can narrow that down. If you hit it in the fairway, you're going to make at least a par and probably a birdie if you're Rory McIlroy and others. If you hit it out in the pine cones in the forest, you're likely not going to be able to do that. You're going to be a bogey or a double bogey. Now, launching off of that statement, we've got to get into the luck of the game. Let's spend some time on that. I think, and with all of my congratulations, the due propers, the nail biting terrible play, the nail biting great play, even the drive, such a bad drive from Rory there at the last hole. I mean, my goodness. And then the bunker, and we didn't know where the ball was for a while. So he certainly has the flair for drama with us, keeping us right there in it on the edge of our seat. I know he doesn't really plan on doing that, but it just happens to be that way. But I think Rory McIlroy is the luckiest player maybe that I've ever watched. Certainly he was at the Masters. And I'd love to get your take on it. And I will go on to say that you and I talked about that yesterday afternoon, And then last evening during the post round live from the Masters from the Golf Channel, I heard my buddy Brandel Chamblee say, when you're young and Rory was winning by 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 shots, that is skill. That is amazing, great play. When you are then later in life winning tournaments by 1, maybe 2, playoffs like last year's in the Masters, one like this year's at the Masters, he said that's luck. It's luck. What do you say?
Well, yes, and what the one of the famous lines about luck is the result of great preparation. Is that part of it too?
Well,
Sometimes,
I
yeah.
used to hear people say all the time when I was in corporate, and I adopted the phrase, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I really do agree with that. The harder we work, things just seem to fall into place many, many times. And I
Yep.
think Rory's preparation this year, going to the Masters, was just that. He worked very hard leading up to the Masters. The harder he worked, the luckier it got. But I got to tell you, Bob, 3 times Saturday in the forest, yesterday in the forest, and every single time he had the trees like the red, like the Red Sea open for him, and he was able to get out and go on and do his business without any major penalty. Poor Cam Young goes in yesterday, and he's in jail. Backed up against a tree, he had branch coming down on his head. I mean, he had no shot, so he had to punch out. And I mean, go ahead. I've raved on about it, but you take over.
Okay, well, he must have had a another four-leaf clover in his pocket because the luck of the Irish sometimes pays off. But I would also say that he had also the opportunities when others were collapsing around him to make putts and right line a short game, and he leaned on it, and he even admitted that at the end that was what won the golf tournament for him. It wasn't his driver, because that usually is the best club in his bag, but it wasn't this week, and he was like 90th, I think, in the final statistics for driving accuracy in the field, which is totally amazing that anybody can win that tournament and have that kind of stat off the tee. But like you said, he was getting those breaks, and he got more than his share. That's no qu question about it. I look at the other people though, when they had opportunities within easy birdie range, I'm talking under 10 feet, I saw them missing putts all over the place, and that is just another example. Cam Young easily could have put the pressure on him, but he didn't. And that was another thing. So it was someone who was not in the pairing with him that applied the pressure. That's Scottie Scheffler, and he came within one little roll on the 17th hole of setting up a playoff, which would have been number one against number two in the world in a playoff. That would have been amazing, but we didn't get that. But we got the drama, and we got it all over the place. And that's what thing about the golf that Masters applies to the viewer. The viewer knows that golf course, who watches X number of Masters a year. We know that that is the hole. We know we're recognizing whatever it is. We can see it. We can almost turn on the television and spot that hole. We know where those people are. So that points down to opportunity. And Rory has said that is like his home course to him. That's interesting to say. He feels like it's a home course for him now. Well, he certainly spent a lot of money been up there back and forth to, every blade of grass or pine cone.
But you know, 4 times in the forest and the no problem that he had a full he had shots. No trees in front of him. Anybody else goes in there, they're in jail. But you know, the game is a game of a bounce here, a roll of the ball there. And it can beat you up, it can completely sting you, it can ruin you, and it can scar you. Or it can reward you, it can bless you. The game can give you shots that you never dreamed you'd be able to have. but it can also give you shots that you will dream about in nightmares the rest of your life. And I don't know that Augusta is singled out as that sort of a thing, but I think golf in general is that way. I know that Augusta played differently this week, although they tried to keep it somewhat, and I think a lot of the players were very surprised that the greens were soft. Even though the wind was blowing, they said on Thursday and Friday, the players' interviews said that the course was looking crusty, a bit yellowish, and that the weekend could be very, very difficult depending on how they set it up and watered it. First time in 25 years, no rain. So a very different, rather historical Masters. And you look at it, Cam Young talked about, and here's a guy that can drive the ball on an ice string straight ahead virtually every time. In his exit interview, he talked about the fact he couldn't buy a putt.
That's right. He could not.
And yet he's
And
a good putter.
oh, yes. One player that I thought was going to make a run towards the clubhouse even stronger was Russell Henley.
Oh,
And
yeah.
Henley was looking very strong mid round, and then it sort of tailed off at the end. But that's the drama of that place. And it doesn't take much. And you're furthest away from the crowd on number 12. And that's the only one where you're furthest away, and you're exposed with the cameras. They show every little position where you are. Rory made a tremendous tee shot there on 12, which saved him. And that was the shot, I believe, that anchored him for the rest of the round.
Well, and we saw some great shots yesterday, didn't we? I mean, we saw some bad shots. We saw some terrible shots. We saw some very, very unlucky putts. I mean, I saw putt after putt after putt burn the lip. So you know that, but that's Augusta.
Do you
Go
remember
ahead.
that shot, Ray, that Justin Rose hit from under the tree at seven, number seven?
Unbelievable.
That turned out to be probably the best shot of the tournament for me, where it hit on the green and where it ended up.
Go ahead and describe the shot. How did he get there? What shot did he do?
On the
Where did
right-hand
he
side,
go ahead?
I think he was punching. I'm thinking a 8 iron, I'm not positive, but he got under the tree, hit it up in the air high enough, it caught the left side of the green, then it took a rocket pin right to the hole like you're in a pool table, and it ended up with less than a foot from the cup. And that was a fabulous, fabulous recovery.
That was a miraculous shot in many ways. And yes, you're right. And again, you look at that. Was it a shot of skill or skill and some luck?
It that this that's luck and skill.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And again, I mean, I think golf is a game of a bounce here, one turn of the ball, sometimes a half turn, hanging on the lip. I'll never forget years and years ago, and I'm an amateur recreational player, pretty good one. Certainly back in my day of a lot of playing and a lot of practice, I was an excellent amateur player. And I can still putt the lights out. And my short game is still very, very good. And when and if I get to practice a considerable amount of time, which is always difficult when you're working all the time. That said, I'll never forget, I was in a bunker about 210, fairway bunker about 210. I had a little bit of a lip, and I call it a TV golf shot. It's TV golf. It's what keep these are There's always one that keeps us coming back, right? There's a putt you make, a chip you make, a shot from the fairway, coming into the green, a wonderful drive. There's always at least one for every amateur recreational golfer during a round that keeps us coming back. And I've proven that my whole life. And I think every amateur golfer can say, yes, there is always one that keeps me coming back. Well, this was one of those ones that kept me coming back. It was a TV golf shot, and probably no PGA Tour player playing on tour could duplicate it. I hit a 5 wood out of that bunker to 2 inches. Now, you know, that's the luckiest shot on the earth. And yet it did take skill for me to be able to make that movement through the ball, put that club head right where it was supposed to be at the moment of impact so that it flew out of there and flew straight out of there toward where I was aiming. That took skill, but all of the rest of it was nothing but dumb luck. And there you go. And we love the game for that. We keep coming back for that.
Sure.
And I think that's a great part of the game. Scotty Scheffler said, this is a game we play outdoors. So you have to be willing to take the elements and the changes in the courses. Although I don't think he was very happy about the situation on Friday. Course conditions in the morning, completely different than the afternoon. And that was his downfall. And he talked about it. If it wasn't for Friday, Scheffler would have won the tournament. Tell us about that.
Course conditions. Not the weather, right?
The conditions of the course. Yeah, well, the weather was the same all week.
You mean the setup of the course? Is that what you're saying?
The setup of the course. In other words, it was more difficult and fast in the morning, and yet it was softer in the afternoon.
Okay. All right.
And
they weren't watering it, that's for sure.
No. I don't think on Friday afternoon they were.
No.
But
no.
For somehow or other, he talked about that. And you can go back, we can all go back and look at Scheffler's exit interview yesterday when he was talking about his round and how he came back. And
okay, I'd like to ask Scotty straight up, how come you played so poorly on the par fives for 4 days? Tell me about that. You know, you're supposed to be the man with all the shots, long distance, great iron play. And he played very pedestrian for the first 54 holes. There's only been one player, this is my nugget, in the history of the Masters who's won the Masters and started the final round outside the top 10. Scotty started Sunday in 11th place. Had he won, he would have broke Art Wall's record.
Yeah. Well, so there you go.
And we know the final pairing is a very, invaluable spot to be in when you tee it up on the final day of the Masters. If you're in the final pairing, the last 11 years now in a row, somebody's going to win that last pairing.
Somebody will win in the last pairing almost in every tournament that we watch, but there's many exceptions to that along the way, you know. We understand. I thought the tournament, again, I keep going back, how do I rate this tournament, how do I rank this tournament in the history of the majors that I've seen and watched and covered in my lifetime? I it's not one for the ages for me, but it is one for our age.
That's right.
I think it's one of the great majors in the last 40 years.
And there's people that are younger than you and I that will say it's awesome and all that stuff. They don't know what awesome means. They don't know what the definition of awesome is, okay? And to me, there's majors that will always be in history, the greatest I've ever seen. My number one is Tiger and Bob May at Valhalla in 2000. PGA Championship. Number two Masters is Jack Nicklaus winning in 1986. That will always stand out there because of Jack being 46 years old. And I will always believe that it was just amazing to see people crumble behind him.
Do you think
Seve in the water and Greg Norman flying it on the right side on another pro shot.
Yes. Do you think that's the greatest Masters of all time?
In my lifetime, yes.
Well, certainly in our lifetime, yes. I'm wondering if it isn't the greatest of all time.
Well,
we could go back. I'm sure that would be an opinion because you're dealing with ages and eras. I mean, you've got a group clump of players at the beginning, and then you've got to go back. You got to go out 20 years and another clump, and then another 20 and another clump of players. And then, of course, the last 20.
Can I give you a year?
Yeah.
Talk about good fortune. 1935, Gene Sarazen, double eagle on number 15.
That's right.
All right. Okay.
The Squire.
If that doesn't go in, does he have a playoff with Craig Wood? I doubt it. Okay.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Squire. And there you go. How many times would he stand there? And I always say this about great shots. Like, for example, Bryson DeChambeau's bunker, a miracle bunker shot at the US Open. You give him 1,000 balls in the bunker and he stands there, he isn't going to duplicate it again.
No.
I don't think so. So it's skill to get out, it's luck where it landed.
Yeah.
The
And
Squire,
it,
he
right.
stands there
And
all day long with 500 golf balls, like a practice range at that spot, and he fires into the green. Does he get a double eagle? Nope.
nope. And going back to Rory, when his collapse in the last few holes at the in Pinehurst and giving Bryson the chance to win the US Open at Pinehurst, this may have been the golf god smiling upon Rory, says, "Okay, you're not going to blow it this time. We're not going to let you blow it this time." Regardless of where you're sending that golf ball into the pine trees, we're going to give you a chance to win it with your short game. And he did.
You know, rising above the actual tournament play and the hole by hole and the shots and this and all that, I think Rory McIlroy showed us his insides. I think he bared his soul for us a bit. And that's rare in golf. We know Cam Young said it yesterday. He said it. I am not a person that talks very much. And he also, during those comments, talked about playing with Rory. Somebody, I think, asked him, did you two talk at all during the round? And he said, well, I'm not a player that talks very much, but no, we each played our own game. We played our own ball. There was a couple exchanges, but he said, I don't think Rory wanted to do anything like that. And I focused on my game. And you could tell that they're, I don't want to, I'm not putting any words in his mouth at all, but I'm going to just use this old cliche to make the point. I'm not sure if there's any love lost between Cam Young and Rory. What do you think?
I would say that's pretty good, in the fact that it goes further than just the Ryder Cup for those two.
Yeah.
I think it's just that, the fact it's professional competition, and it's just being saying, well, I think I can get there because I have just as many skills as this person has. I'm just not in the I'm that not in that position right now to say that I've accomplished all this, blah blah blah. He Cam won a tremendous Players Championship. He did earned it terrifically. He earned it. He's going to win a major. I know he's going to do it. It's just a matter of a few moments. He should have won it at you at the St. Andrews. When he's chasing down Cam Smith. But I just believe that he has the talent to do it. I think his even temper on the outside belies what's churning inside for him. That's what I believe about Cam. But
Well,
I expect him to win a major.
Cam keeps it close to the vest. He's quiet. He's not a talker, as he said. But inside, there may, and he looks calm, but inside, there's likely the turmoil, the stress, the boiling. And all players handle it differently. We know that in history. Look at Fuzzy Zeller. He whistled, and Lee Trevino talked and talked himself into two major wins, by the way. You know, I mean, they all handle it differently, but it's there the same for all of them. I don't know that the stress is very different. Okay, so you're 20 years older, you've been on the tour, you've got a lot of incredible experience, you know the course like the back of your hand, like Rory, compared to a newer, younger player. Yeah, they're going to be a little bit intimidated. They're going to have a lot more stress. But Rory's going to have stress too. The experienced journeymen are going to have stress too. It's a different kind of stress.
Oh, yeah,
You
sure.
know, and what about Justin Rose? We've got to touch down on Justin for a moment.
Yeah, Justin is to me is in that same channel right now as Tommy Fleetwood, a guy that has put out the greatest sometimes performances up to a point, and then the golf gods do not smile upon him for the close, the closer. How do you become a closer? You know, and he's had so many good chances, very so many, and it's just I feel for him. Yes, he has won one major at Marion. We know that at the U.S. Open, but he has had a ton more where he was made in contention, and that he should have at least five in his pocket right now. I believe.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Bob Denny. He is the PGA of America historian emeritus, and we're thinking about you, the listeners. Thank you so very much for joining us. We do all of this for you. It's so much fun. You're the most educated, informed, and entertained golf listeners on the earth. Why? Well, because for 25 years or somewhere along the line, you picked up my Great American Golf Show and my Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, which we're doing now, along with the thousands of guests over the years, thousands of radio shows over the years. And then last April, right around this time, I've finally made the decision that I'd been mulling around and studying around to go streaming with the show, turning a call it a legacy radio station, sports radio station that I was on same time, same place for both shows for 25 years, into now a podcast with those two same shows over on the golfnewsnet.com. Golfnewsnet.com. Both shows air there for a couple of three or four times. Then they're sent over to the big audio platforms. Wherever you get your audio podcast from, you'll find Great American Golf and the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. We're going to be back in one moment. Please listen to these wonderful messages from sponsors that can help you with your game and help you have more fun.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
All right, greetings and welcome back to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with you all the rest of the hour, as well as Dr. Bob Denny. And when we went out, we were talking about Justin Rose, and we're going to get right back to him with Dr. Bob in one moment. I wanted to mention to you Ashworth Golf Apparel. I am under agreement with Ashworth Golf and so honored and humbled that I am able to wear Ashworth Golf Apparel. You want to go to ashworthgolf.com. The new spring line is absolutely stunningly beautiful and obviously created, made for you to play golf in, but for also you to be able to go around the club, out to dinner, lounging with friends around a table, or go to the movies, where whatever you like to do after golf, whatever you do after golf, you'll be able to do it in your Ashworth golf apparel. Folks, remember, when you wear Ashworth golf apparel, you're wearing a part of golf history. That's right. The golf man is back, Ashworth golf apparel back, and back in a very big way. Ashworthgolf.com. I also want to thank one of my great, great companies, and I say great companies, one of my wonderful companies that I have so many years named my recurring PGA Merchandise Show Product of the Year. Over and over, I name this product in that list of new PGA Merchandise Show Products of the Year. And I certainly have several this year as well. Tally Tumbler, one of them, of course, Ashworth Golf and Squares Golf and Tour Edge. But I also want to thank the T-Clip. The T-Clip, if you want to go to tclip.com, has great new innovations. It is a wonderful product. It's a fun product. It's a product that you need. It is a golf accessory that you're going to use, and you want to go to tclip.com. They've had new innovations with it since I first met up with them 3 years ago. You'll see them go out in my spring product guide. And folks, I got to tell you, there's so many things happening on the way. If you want to get my email, write to me, golfadams@msn.com. You'll get my spring product guide going out very soon, now that golf has opened up or opening up all over the country, as well as the Rite of Spring, the Masters, has now come and gone. So we are full blown into golf, and the major championship season is upon us, and we'll stay that way all the way through to the fall. And we will continue that way. Tclip.com. You got to make sure you get to the T clip. And I'm going back with Dr. Bob Denny right now. Dr. Bob, calling Dr. Bob. Justin Rose, my goodness. You talk about that. Now, I will go back and say Justin is playing for a Masters win for the ages. And if Justin Rose does win the Masters, it will be one for the ages, I believe. Look at his play in the Masters, and you can just feel, how much he wants that green jacket. Maybe even above and beyond others. He's got a US Open. He darn near as a kid was contending at the Open Championship long ago. And he's had so many chances right there. How many seconds? Three?
He's got five second places in
Five.
majors. In
In majors,
majors,
but what about the Masters? Yep.
three.
Okay. There you go.
But
So you.
he's got in the Masters, he's got five top fives.
Yeah. And I think last year he wins the Masters because he ties Rory. They both finish with the same score. So he wins the Masters with Rory, but no, you got to go to a playoff.
And then the final hole of the excuse me, in the playoff, and he slides one by that he easily could have made, and Rory knocks his in, and that was thing.
And
So,
there you go.
right.
Luck of the roll, skill of the roll, luck of the roll, whatever it is. So tell us about Justin. I've got another comment about it at his age and for those players that are at
Well,
an age. Go ahead.
Justin is still in a man that believes in fitness. He's quietly does a great heart of workouts. He's in tremendous physical shape for a man 47. He's staying out of injury problems. He's got 24 top tens in the majors, and he's played in grand total of 85 majors. So 24 out of 85. That's pretty darn good. And he's not collecting, as we know, but he is contending, and that's what you want to do. And I do believe that he's also one of the most classy persons who have in any competition. He's never going to badmouth an opponent in front of the camera or anywhere that you hear about. And people love him. The teammates love him. He's a tremendous Ryder Cup player. He's got all this going for him, and we just wish he could just get over the hump and get that, because he would be a very popular person from the other side of the ocean to win this. And I think he's comfortable in Augusta more than he is would be comfortable at any other major venue, possibly, unless he has a favorite out there in the
Well,
UK that I don't know much about.
there's few golfers on the earth that knows Augusta National better than Rose.
But
Like Rory, he knows every blade of grass.
you're right. And over the years, I've watched him put the little claw on the grip for his it's touching when he touches that little short putts, and he has got himself in position. That's what I'll say. I don't think it's anything more than just getting those breaks, and don't have any bad, stupid mistakes when you have to down the
Well,
stretch. That's
let's
the
go
key.
back.
Jack Nicklaus says, stay away from those double bogeys. All right. But just make sure when you get to those stretch run, we're talking about the stretch run in any competition, you can't have any margin of error.
Well, goes back to the theme of this show, the luck of the game. Justin simply just didn't have the luck that he needed.
That's right.
And Cam Young couldn't make a putt, couldn't buy one with any money.
Nope.
Unlucky on the greens, and yet he's a fabulous putter.
Yeah.
So and again, I go back.
This isn't the first Masters where someone that was got it handed to him. There's in those moments. There's been so many Masters that people have forgotten over the years, where a guy was it was given to him because the other guy messed up. How about Greg Norman? Gee whiz, good Lord. Yeah, he just shoots anything like a 71 and he wins the tournament, you know. Even a 72, I think, would win it because he had a six stroke lead.
Six
But
stroke read, but don't forget that Sir Nick Faldo shot what?
6,
67?
66.
66.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
wonderful.
so
But Greg didn't stay with him, anybody. He just let him, his mind just went zero on it.
Well, Greg Norman had bad breaks. Greg Norman was snake bit, they say. Greg Norman, I think his brain went to mush all through that round. And I saw that tournament. I watched it. I rewatched it. I read about it. Talked to Greg Norman about it. He was on my TV show. Talked to Sir Nick.
How about the playoff when he had excuse me, Larry Mize on the 11th hole? Larry is just trying to chip up there, and he chips in on the 11th hole. The 11th hole.
Well, we'll never forget Larry Mize.
Yes, that's right.
I thought Fred Ridley's comments on the putting green during the awards ceremony were excellent comments. Of course, he has to thank everybody. This is the routine and the obligation. And it's so appropriate to thank the staff and the volunteers and the superintendent team and other people. And organizations, but he also thanked all of the ruling bodies or and the golf tours around the world. And I was taken a bit when he said, "We want to thank the PGA Tour, PGA of America, DP World Tour, USGA," and he named all of the tours and organizations around the country, Royal and Ancient, or World, I should say. And then he said, and LIV Golf. He named LIV with all of those major organizations. What did you make of that? I think it
Well,
elevated LIV.
it gave it obviously a little bit of
Gave them legs.
lame legs, obviously, but also he's trying to also let you know that whenever the players are coming into the Masters, it is not because of their fact that they were in another Maverick tour. They all earned their way in some respects, and that's how they earned their way in. They're not barred from it, and that's important. So he's giving honor to those players in their field who are from the LIV Tour, and I think there was something like 8 to 10 of them, and it would actually it turned out. And that's the global aspect of what the Masters is trying to say, and give the let the people know that there's still a global destination for the best golfers in the world.
I also want to go back and talk a little bit about Rory and Scottie Scheffler. Every era of golf that I can think back through, as long as I can remember, has a rivalry. There are two, maybe three players that dominate. And there's usually two, and they're going at each other. I'm sure as a historian, you can take us back, 80, 100 years ago. You can take us back 60 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever. But every era has a rivalry. I've got to believe, watching this, that we have a new rivalry. And I say new, it's been going on, but I think yesterday really, really brought it right in front of everybody and said, here we are, watch us. And it's, of course, Rory and Scotty. I think that they are a rivalry. I think that they are going to bring another golden era of competitive golf to the world. What do you make of it?
I think it's definitely a rivalry. It's going to be whether or not they want to make it or this much or not of it. It's definitely a rivalry in competition because of their world ranking, their performances, the multiple championships between them. And I'm very interested, to be honest with you, about how things shake out at the U.S. Open this year.
I
That's
am
one
too.
that's what Scotty has not won. And we'll see how that shakes out. That's going to be interesting to watch. We're going to Philadelphia in May for the PGA Championship at Aronimink, and neither of those golf courses have been used since 1962 for a men's major. And Gary Player was the last to win there, and so forth. But I'll be anxious to see that. The rivalries we've had in the past, everybody remembers Jack and Arnie and Gary. Well, we've also seen Hogan and Snead and Byron Nelson, obviously, many of those. Even Bernhard Langer and Seve were obviously a great rivalry themselves.
They were.
Jose Maria and Seve were teammates more so than rivals because they're from Spain, but they were certainly competitive rivals to accomplish in their own camps. And Nick Faldo, many people looked at Nick as sort of like a loner at times, and but he was an absolute focused mechanic out there. I like to use that word because he was just unbelievable execution when he was at the top of his game. So a lot of people can look at the rivalries that list in the sport, but I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good to see it. I hope we can see back and forth those people challenging those guys. We certainly would like to see those people like Justin and Cameron and others have a chance to win a major. I'd like to see Tommy Fleetwood finally win one. But it's just, I think it's good for that, and obviously the viewership is going to be improving as we see those things unfold.
Absolutely, it is. Let's go back not just to Fred Ridley's thank yous and his very nice speech on the putting green at the awards ceremony, but let's go to Rory's comments. And I said that Rory opened up his heart and I think showed us his soul a bit this week. His pressers were long. He was beyond generous. I was shocked at some of the time that he spent there in the chair in the media room talking, especially last night after winning. He was there for how long? My goodness, Bob. It went on and on and on and on.
It was a Friday one that would it sort of str which struck me
That
that
one was after the 36 hole and the history-making lead.
was way too long for I
I
thought.
mean, unbelievable. But I thought last night was a long one. But
No, I've seen.
even before he got there, on the green, as he accepted the green jacket, his comments I thought were well thought out. Clearly, he had created those comments and had a bit of a script. If not in his mind, he might have even had it a little bit in front of him there, a few notes. But he was very articulate. It was a very, it was heartfelt. It was teary-eyed, and it was very, very well done. And in the doing of it, yes, at his pressers, he opened up his soul a bit. But on that putting green last night, I think he really opened it up. And of course, it was his parents and what they had done for him over the years. And they were not wealthy people. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, to be a great golfer, you got to come from money. And there's a lot of truth in that. To be able to pay for the travel and the time and the going and the doing and the equipment. And oh my goodness, from the time a kid is 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, all the tournaments and the fees and the, I mean, you're talking about a lot of money to make it happen. And yes, a number of players do come from rather well-to-do families. But Rory did not.
No, they Jerry McIlroy, who is the father, and Rosie, they were actually had to work multiple jobs, night shifts, they were saying, even bartending, for Jerry to support his career, Rory's career, and he never forgot that. And obviously, his success has helped make him bring return of dividends for everybody. But one string struck me also was the fact that he said to them, he says, "If I can be half the parent to Poppy that you were to me, that will mean everything, you know." And that to me was brought a tear to the eye. And I looked over to Poppy with the camera, and she looked like she was a young little gal who crossed her legs, had her hand up to her face, and just shook her head when she heard that about her mention. And also the fact he says, "I don't know if she wanted to be here for the par three this year, and also may have had something to do with the players' unlimited ice cream access in the players' area." And she shook her head at that. That she's grown up very quickly.
She
And
really has, and she'll continue to do that. She's a very cute young lady. And of course, Rory having the daughter, I can relate to. I have three daughters. And so, you know, not to mention, you know, the three granddaughters. So they're all little and young, and I say little, but they're growing, and you know that he worships and adores his wife and that little girl, and but his mother and father worshipped and adored him, and made sure when they figured out, I mean, they learned at some point that he was going to be a virtuoso, that he was going to be a prodigy. It's like the first time parents, I love the opera, and it's when you go to an opera, you're going to a moment in history. Because there's 8 billion people on the planet, there's only a handful that can sing like that. You're watching history. And it's the can you imagine the first time your youngin', daughter or son, belts out this unbelievable voice, and you realize, uh-oh, history's in this house. And then what do you go do? And can you imagine the first time that Jerry and the wife, you know, the mom and dad, mom and da, can you imagine the first time it dawned on them, hey, this young man is a prodigy, and we're going to devote every dollar that we can find to help him to do it. Can you imagine that moment? I would love to ask Jerry that question. When did you know?
I'm sure you'll get an opportunity one of these times.
I hope I will. I hope I will. I will certainly be looking for him in the crowds. What a great time together, Bob. And we've pretty much covered everything that I think that the folks would want us to cover. No, we didn't do shot by shot. We talked a few of them, but all of that was on TV and in the analysis and everything. I think the stories that are heartfelt, the stories that are human, the stories that are history, the stories that are the future of the game, I think that's what we wanted to cover today. The soul, the blood, and the guts of the stories at the Masters. And we've done that. And I thank you so much for being a part of it and our sponsors and all of you listeners. Wow, what a great one. And we'll definitely be doing a little Masters wrap up for the Great American Golf listeners this coming Saturday morning. We will do a shorter version, hopefully with Craig Renshaw. and maybe a special surprise guest. We'll do this again, and we'll condense it though, as we get to Great American Golf this coming Saturday morning on golfnewsnet.com. Bob, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there he is. I've got a few more comments because I have some sponsors that I want to say thank you to as well. Yes, I mentioned several during the show, but there are some that have just been with me for now so much time. Colin Morikawa, the back pain problem. Of course, we all know Tiger's, legendary back pain and troubles with his back over the years and the multiple surgeries. We know that Rory McIlroy himself had spasms and just had to drop out of a tournament just a few weeks ago. And then spent all that time going to Augusta multiple times practicing and getting ready for this Masters and was able to play, I'm presuming, pain-free. He worked through those spasms. It's back trouble for recreational golfers, back trouble for PGA Tour players, LPGA Tour players, anybody that plays the game, I don't care who you are, where you are, is prevalent. It's there. And if you haven't had back pain or back issues, I hope you never do. I broke my back last fall in a freak, ridiculously crazy accident. And I'm very athletic and very, good on my feet. And it was a freak accident. I fell, broke the lower two vertebrae. They have healed fine. I have no pain. It's a miracle almost, but my spine doctor said, Ray, you're going to be in a lot of trouble for about 6 months. Well, I went to the PGA show a month later in Orlando and walked 17 miles, and I did it almost pain-free. So I thank the good Lord above, and I thank my wife for supporting and helping me, and of course the medical community and the doctors for getting me through it. But I also know that back pain and lower back problems and sciatica is chronic, and it's rampant through the game. And if you look at the spine and how the golfer sets up to the ball and then comes through the ball, you're going to see how that messes with the spine, and especially with these violently fast swing speeds these players have. It's going to come sometime or other, and I hope it never does, though. But when it does, and if you're struggling, you want to contact one of the world's leading authorities. You want Dr. Gavin Rutledge, and you want to get his book, and you can go to his website. The website is golf.painfreeandconfident.com. And his book, Pain Free and Confident, is on Amazon's bestseller. And you want to find Dr. Gavin Rutledge, get to that website, golf.painfreeandconfident.com. Reach out to him. Let him know you're there. He will respond to you. His credentials read like a what's what and a who's who of medical achievements and research and study and honors and well degrees. So Dr. Gavin Rutledge at pain, excuse me, golf.painfreeandconfident.com to help you with your game, excuse me, with your back, so that it will help you with your game and you can enjoy your game, maybe hopefully, well, he says, well into your 90s. I also want to thank Dennis and Lisa Jones at dljoneshomes.com. They're part of my Anthem Only segment. Anthem Only is where I talk about, keeping your dollars local for all the economic reasons and the business supporting reasons, the restaurant reasons, all of the businesses and restaurants that are local, money for the school, money for charities, all of that. If you keep your dollars within about a 3 to 5 mile radius, don't go outside of that radius if you can help it. Keep it local. And when you do, you're going to be supporting your local community. So I call it Anthem Only because I'm in Anthem, Arizona, which is a north-north suburb of Phoenix, Arizona. But it can be anywhere, Schaumburg, Illinois. It can be Miami. It can be Seattle. It can be my hometown where I was born in Detroit, Michigan. It can be Tucson only. It can be San Diego only. So you get the idea. No matter where you are, you have your town's name only, Name your town, San Diego only. In my case, it's Anthem only, and that's the name of the segment. DLJonesHomes.com, award-winning realtors. The North Valley Water Solutions, they have got all of your water needs covered. Dave, I tell you, Dave Newham and his team are amazing. They go all over the valley. They have some fantastic benefits if you work with them. Go to NorthValleyWaterSolutions.com, NorthValleyWaterSolutions.com, and he'll take care of your water treatment, water heaters, water purifiers, misting systems, plumbing, and he's got 24-hour emergency. I can tell you right now, it's what you want. His son is Bobby Boyd. And Bobby Boyd has the North Valley Cart Care. That's right. He'll take care of your golf cars, service, towing, tire repairs, accessories, maintenance, batteries. He also buys and sells and trades golf cars. If you need anything about a golf cart or your golf cart, Anthem family owned and operated, Bobby Boyd at nvcartcare.com. That stands for North Valley, nvcartcare.com. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. I got to tell you, I love all of this. And of course, last Saturday show, you heard me mention one of our new sponsors, Seared Living up in Carefree, SearedLiving.com. You want to go to SearedLiving.com. They have a passion for cooking and dedication to the quality to have created and curated some of the most wonderful lifestyle gourmet marketplace offerings that you have ever seen. They're right there in Carefree on 100 Easy Street in Carefree, Arizona. But go to SearedLiving.com. So many great sponsors and more to come. Folks, again, I want to thank you so much for listening today. Have a wonderful week. We will be back with you this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. Enjoy.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.